will determine the health and elasticity of these supporting muscles, assuming the tissues are not already destroyed beyond repair. Yes, Tonto, breasts reach their normal state of development after puberty.
You never talk about breasts before.
What suddenly happened in your head?
What was in that cigarette?
Wait a minute.
Your period of stresses and strain will come to an end, and you will be able to enter social and group activities confidently.
Take a bite of this silver bullet.
When I catch a pin.
Your breasts are definitely tied with your general physical health and makeup.
My breasts are tied!
Your weight, your height, your type of contour, etc.
Hormone gum doubles your measure, doubles your gun. Now available for boys.
Malcolm X, John Lennon. Come on in and dig your mother.
Ah, Mom, I can't now. I gotta go do my homework. I mean, I gotta meet my connection.
You can't fool me. You're in one of those underground study cells, aren't you?
No.
It'll kill your father. I didn't breastfeed you for 14 years for this. Come here, baby.
But Mom, I'm not hungry.
I get so hungry when we go too far. You look like dinner in your daddy's car. Where'd you get that pair of sweats?
Yes, I like boobs a lot.
Boobs a lot, boobs a lot.
You gotta like boobs a lot.
Really like boobs a lot.
You gotta like boobs a lot.
Boobs a lot, boobs a lot.
You gotta like boobs a lot.
Not only did I broaden my cultural horizons, I also learned a lot about espionage. We exhausted a series of intourist chaperones who were transparently Soviet agents keeping an eye on us, making sure we didn't help anyone defect to the West or pass secret messages or encourage revolution. One lovely spy, a comely redhead, danced for us at an outdoor performance and then breathlessly asked, "Where are you going next? Let me come with you." And she hopped on the train and apparently had sex with everyone but me. But I'm not complaining, because in Leningrad, I fell for a cute little blonde named Alla. And boy, there were times when I thanked God for meeting her. Alla introduced me to a culture very different from ours. For instance, when we went to a movie in the Soviet Union, you went to a kiosk to buy a ticket. But the movie was not necessarily in a theater. It might be a ballroom in an old hotel with wooden chairs, like where we saw a rather violent Polish film with Russian subtitles about diamond mining. So there I was, in the darkened ballroom theater, and when I sheepishly put my arm around her shoulder, she immediately removed my hand and placed it on one of her breasts.
Oh, that Louise Wong's got a Belkin you could do Shakespeare from.
Well, we're trying to give the guy some milk, but he doesn't seem to know what it is.
But they sure know where it comes from.
It was much more fun than watching movies at the Film Society at Yale, though I scored there, too. We were all over each other, and no one around us objected, mainly because they had their hands all over each other, too. There was no privacy anywhere else in their city, so these makeshift theaters became make-out rooms. This is also why you might walk through a park and see a young man and woman practically dry-humping each other. you just looked the other way because there was no place in their crowded family apartments for sexual intimacy.
And how she kissed me under the Moorish wall. And I thought, well, as well him as another. And she asked me, would I? Yes. To say, yes, my mountain flower. And first I put my arms around him, yes. And drew her down to me so I could feel her breasts all perfumed, yes. And his heart was going like mad. And yes, I said, yes, I will. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Batman, take her purse.
Oh, here, my dear.
Oh, thank you, and my cloak, Doctor.
And her dress.
Oh, thank you, and my knickers. Thank you.
And your muff.
Oh, that's my muff.
Soccer blue.
Why, without your clothes, you're naked, Miss Dudley. Miss Violet Dudley, isn't it?
By the next thing you know, I was flat on my back, two drinks in each hand. I was under attack from a beautiful girl who held on to me tight. Let's grab my wallet, said man, don't fight. You paid your money, you've got all night to wrestle a nude live stewardess in flight.
I had managed to find it. To find it and get myself there in spite of everything. The artist's dusty boudoir. And there they were, buck naked as a skin flick, the bride stripped bare, the whole Dada enchilada, red-headed artist model lost between the ripe lips of the guy in goggles and a brown derby with his fat theremin in his fist. Kiki and the Beast. And there was only one door, the door which is never opened or closed. It was my only way out. I had the proof now. I opened the door.
Desire infers. You'll trap your prey like a Mars fly in a Klein bottle and finish her off like an hourglass melting on the bedside cocktail table. And now that it's summer, desire life or death in a faux platinum flask. It traps you by the tail and never lets go. And now desire infers the essence of scent for surrealists brings you the George Tirebiter mystery and the door which is never opened or closed.
Well, the first part was too easy. I knew the madman. He was a Hollywood pal where everybody's, well, a little bit mad. And the maddest the madman ever was in those days was to think I should run for president.
It's either you or Ronnie. Make up your mind.
Well, he said that more than he had to. And I knew he could fix it, mafia stuff. It was the early 50s, and the madman was still in the movie business when he wasn't in the World War III business. On the lookout for properties, and I had two. One was a timely expose of rock and roll as a government plot to drown out youthful controversy. The other was the story of Kiki of Montparnasse, a figure model, an all-around lover in several artists' lives, more or less simultaneously. That was the one the madman went for. I hooked him with a few Man Ray 8x10.
She's nude in all of these, Tirebiter.
He said, and I said, yeah, that's the idea, boss.
Oh, I see, I see. So, how about to play Kiki, we get Deborah Padgett. Oh, Terry Moore. That muff shot of her at the airport got passed around every locker room in the country.
How about Lily St. Cyr?
Oh, now that comes in a gusher, Tirebiter. Yeah. Lily St. Cyr as Kiki. She came to sit, but she couldn't sit still.
Oh, it's great.
Ty Power as Picasso, and Spencer Tracy as Gertrude Stein.
It's perfect. I'll write the script.
I'm passing it on to Perlmutter and the Corwin brothers.
But first class.
We can split the based on an idea by credit, and you can co-produce.
Well,
after all, George, you're blacklisted.
And I says, anything else I can do for you, boss? And the madman says...
Yeah, Tirebiter, there's rumors of a weapon.
Hmm.
Well, maybe it's just an invention right now, and we'll have a chance to weaponize it later, that creates a kind of, a door into an interdimensional reality.
Sure, and pie tins fly.
A door, my man tells me, that is never opened or closed.
Hmm.
It's in Manhattan somewhere, he hears. Now, find out about it for me on the QT, and I'll make this Kiki thing but strictly without any nudity of any kind.
Boss, no, I think you're missing the whole
point. Except in my bungalow, Tire Viter.
And he added,
and if you were president, Tire Viter, you could have Kiki up to your bungalow any time you wanted. Think it over.
Well, I put up at the St. Moritz. Salvador Dali was sitting in a gold armchair in the lobby, so I knew I must be close. Compared to two-dimensional Los Angeles, New York was a 3D thriller. If I was going to open a door to some interdimensional reality, I'd find it here. Maybe right here at the White Horse Bar.
Well, here's your black and tan, sir. Oh. Was you wanting anything else, then?
What's the word around here about interdimensional reality?
Interdimensional reality on the Bowery, sir?
Well, this is an artist's hangout, isn't it?
Indeed, it has that reputation, so it does, sir.
Listen, did a Frenchman named Duchamp ever drink here? He might have played chess.
Now, that'd be before my time, sir. That's more your abstract expressionist crowd here these days. Now, I hear they go in for wife swapping, sir.
Oh, really?
Now, if you want to talk to a fella about the Bohemian days, will you go see that gent down the bar?
I can barely see that gent down the bar.
He's been here all day, sir. Sort of fades in and out like. Max, he's called.
Max.
He's writing a book about everything he says, so... Ask him. Thank you, sir.
Certainly. Well, Max was a little guy nursing a nickel beer and holding on to a big cardboard folder. I nodded and said, he'd like another beer, and made my way down the bar to the empty seat right next to him.
I hear you've been asking about surrealists.
Yes, indeed. Do you know any, Max?
Why don't you sit down, partner, and spring me some steamers, huh? I got surrealist stories that'll make you think you were in the old interdimensional days.
Well, maybe I will be here then, huh?
My Cocktail with Max. Next time on the George Tirebiter Mystery. Presented by Desire Infers, the essence of scent for surrealists. And by Oppression for Men, in the box with the broken mirrors. Desire and oppression everywhere you go.
I wanted the woods and the Indians to sleep with me, but I was afraid of the cold and made them sleep outside, so I never felt the touch of a warm, naked Indian or in a cold, naked forest. I was lost and had only the steel I had to cut me forward. I am a little boy speaking like a man in a suit that squeezes on the parts that make me forget that I'm a little boy and I am not moving as I would like to be. I am standing still and the heavens are wheeling about me and the atmosphere and the moisture polarize each other. So the colors are always changing. And my sense of time is so acute that I can hear it. I will be free.
And with all my association with Indian girls from October 29 to March 26, 1839, I did not meet one who was a moral prostitute. They are kind and tender-hearted, and many of them are beautiful.
Oh, we're having a lovin'.
Cuckoo-ca-choo.
A lovable lovin'.
Cuckoo-ca-choo.
Our temperature's rising.
It won't be surprising.
When we're in the Grand Canyon.
We'll have the Jefferson airplane.
And the Grateful Dead.
Oh, the scenery's perfect.
Just right for a head.
We'll get the Who and Jimi Hendrix.
And we'll fly out the fuzz.
Do you like boobs a lot?
Yes, I like boobs a lot.
Why do you like boobs a lot?
You gotta like boobs a lot.
Do you like boobs a lot?
Yes, I like boobs a lot.
Why do you like boobs a lot?
You gotta like boobs a lot.
Hey, does anybody know if the Grand Canyon has got any electrical plugs?
Smokers, doesn't this sound familiar?
Hold it right there.
No, I think I'll hold it over here.
If I knew just what I had to say. I'm Nick Danger with another word of advice for you men. You know, here in the radio studio, it's all dinge and dinger, but when that on-the-air sign goes off, I'm just plain Ed Eagle, actor, Indian, and second-class citizen. You know, where I come from, most folks like to pass around a pipe because the spirits in the air around us can get overloaded from the stress and strain that most of us working men call real life. So when I get home, I like to fill up my calabash with a fresh load of goat's head type pipe tobacco. Light a match with my sharp thumbnail and enjoy one heck of a good smoke. It doesn't just blow the brimstone out of your brain, it appeases all those friendly spirits right on down the line.
So get with it, man. Buy a pouch today. And remember what the folks back on the reservation say.
Goat's head pipe tobacco, goat's head pipe tobacco, goat's head pipe tobacco, goat's head pipe.
Yes, it's devilishly good.
If you want a power with Duck Man, stop your seams from coming unstuck, man. Pass that peace pipe and bury that hatchet.
Write that apology and dispatch it.
When you part, it's grand to patch it.
Take a chill pill down the hatchet.
Bet your phone be glad to match it.
Pass that peace pipe and bury that hatchet. Like the Chumash, Chickasaws, Chattahoochee, Chippewas, and those Chichimecs, Cherokee, Chippewas, and those Jagutamese, Chepechets, and Chickabees, Chochos, Changos, Chattanoogas, Chicharos,
Pennacook, Massachusetts,
Mohegan, Delaware,
Mohawk,
Powhatan,
Alabama,
Cree,
Choctaw,
Tuscarora,
Susquehanna,
Iroquois,
Pennacook,
Mohawk,
Powhatan,
Delaware,
Susquehanna,
Iroquois,
Chickasaw,
Chickasaw,
Sauk, Sanzark, Shawnee,
Arapaho, Arapaho,
Crow, Oto, Iowa,
Menominee, Menominee,
Mandan, Mobile, Modoc,
Hopi, Apache, Nisqually, Shoshone,
Apache, Nisqually,
Shoshone,
Shoshone,
Apache,
Nisqually,
Shoshone,
Shoshone,
Apache,
Nisqually,
Shoshone,
Apache,
Nisqually,
Shoshone,
Apache,
Shoshone,
Shoshone,
Apache,
Shoshone,
Apache,
Shoshone,
Apache,
Shoshone.
In a sacred manner you shall walk. Your nation shall behold you.
Chickasaw.
Sauk, Sanzak, Shawnee. Behold, a sacred voice is calling you. All over the sky, a sacred voice is calling.
Chickasaw.
Sauk, Sanzak,
Shawnee.
In a sacred manner you shall walk. Your nation shall behold you.
A medicine man I met said, don't get yourself in a sweat. When things look gray, just shrug and say, it must have been something I ate.
So, don't get yourself in a snetty set. Tuck your tantrums into your kitty set. It's disarming to be charming, quoth the medicine man.
Whom all agree, it's plain to see, nobody could be wiser than.
So if your temper's getting a top hen, all you have to do is just stop and pass that peace pipe and bury that hatchet.
Like the Choctaw, Chickasaw, Chattahoochee, Chippewa do.
Yeah, if you're feeling mad as a wet hen, mad as you can possibly get, then pass that peace pipe and bury the tomahawk. Like those Chichimecs, Cherokees, or Poltabags do.
When you're cranky, try to use a little restraint. Fold that hanky and wipe off all that war paint.
If you wanna be an alright guy, not a long-faced blues in the night guy, pass that peace pipe and bury that hatchet.
Descendants of a British missionary and the descendants of cannibals who killed and ate him 170 years ago got together this week to bury the hatchet. The South Pacific island of Erromango is now predominantly Christian, been feeling bad about the murder of prominent missionary John Williamson, invited his great-great-grandson and a handful of other relatives to accept their apology. Sorry, we ate your granddad. Great-great-great-granddad.
The only good Indian is a dead Indian!
Cleverly rejoined a little boy.
And they all applauded.
And they were going to let the little boy eat the Indian's heart.
Yum, yum!
When someone,
I think it was the Archbishop,
remembered that they were Christians.
And eating an Indian's heart doesn't really sound like something Christ would do.